It's the Kim Munson Show.
The Washington Times said the patriotic Americans donated U.S. flags after protesters raised the Mexican flag over the ICE facility.
Analyzing the most important stories.
It is not fair that people come in illegally and they have 3 square meals a day, TVs and all. There's something that is wrong with this picture.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
When we get into conversations with people, you can get real bombastic with each other because you haven't read it. You don't know what you're talking about.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
So if you understand the issue, then you can have calm, reasonable conversations.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation. I am Kim Munson. Welcome to the show. We've got an amazing show planned for you today. We have in studio 2 amazing guests. Jen Hewlin, you are the owner of Water's Edge Winery, one of my valued partners. It's great to have you here.
Thank you for having me this morning.
And Cody Hubley, it's great to have you here as well. You have done an excellent op-ed that is at my website, and we'll be pushing that out on social media, and we'll be talking about that in segments 3 and 4. You put a lot of work into that, didn't you?
I did. I took it from a lot of angles, and ultimately I tried to find, I think, the biggest issue with electric cars that could appeal to a wide audience. It's a real concern that affects all of us, no matter what side you're on.
So you'll want to stay tuned for that, because you've kind of unearthed, no pun intended, some very important things on that. So we'll be talking about that in segments 3 and 4. But welcome to the show. As you know, we talk about these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Socialism ultimately comes down to force. The question on the table, if something is a really good idea, then you shouldn't have to force it. You should be able to persuade people in the battle of ideas why it has merit. And when you have to use force, that's probably something that we need to step back and go, wait a minute. And when you hear the word mandate, when you hear the word regulate, when you hear the word comply, those are all force words. And I want to say thank you to Larry. I had a listener that reached out to me, and he said, Kim, I'm a little frustrated. You're doing something sometimes that is annoying. I'm like, I don't want to do that. And we want to make the show better. And so he said, when I refer to PBIs, that's my new name for politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties, he said, just do it once. So I will refer to, make the definition once every day, because there are new listeners that are coming in all the time. But I'm not going to be continuing to do that. And the other thing with Tabor, we've always said that we need to explain that Tabor is Colorado's Taxpayers Bill of Rights. But I think I will only explain that once a day, and so that people understand that, so new listeners understand that. Otherwise, we'll just talk about Tabor. Oh, was it Larry? Richard. Richard, okay. Richard, I just want to say thank you to you on that, and we will take that under advisement. So with that, let's go ahead and jump in here. I want to say thank you to the team. Steve, Pat, Zach, Keith, and Charlie, for just all the work that you do. And thank you to each of you listeners. You are treasured. You're valued. You have a purpose. Strive for excellence every day and take care of your heart, soul, mind, and body. Website is kimmunson.com. That's where you can find Cody's most excellent op-ed. And if you want to reach out to me, suggestions, I really will listen to them. Thank you to Richard. It's Kim at kimmunson. That's spelled MONSON.com. And podcasts of the show and recaps can be found there as well. So Cody's piece that we'll be talking about, one of the things is electric cars. And so I thought, okay, car manufacturers, Henry Ford. So that's who I went to for inspiration today. And he says, and of course, he was the founder of the Ford Motor Company and, the assembly line, the Model T, all kinds of inventions. And he says, whether you think you can or whether you think you can't, you're right. Ha ha. So whether you think you can, whether you think you can't, you're right. Our funnies for today, Steve, you've been wanting to talk about Joe Biden and this no malarkey tour. And, I'm thinking, is that the vision for America, is no malarkey? I mean, people that are running for office, you want to have a vision. Now, I know that some people, make America great again, certainly can evoke emotions on both sides of the aisle, but it does have a vision. No malarkey, I'm not so sure about that. And you have just been kind of concerned about that all week on that, Steve.
Hopefully everybody has heard, maybe not, that he's doing a bus tour in Iowa and he's calling it the No Malarkey Tour. And sure enough, on the bus, big letters, No Malarkey. And I'd surely love to sneak up on that bus and do a little artwork that says nothing but malarkey.
But that would be defacing property, and you don't do that.
Well, yeah, but, you know, and the guy hangs himself or puts a target on his back, and it's hilarious to see all the memes popping up on Facebook because every time he opens his mouth, something really stupid comes out. How in the world he got to talking about the hair on his legs is beyond me.
Yeah, I know. That was an interesting one. So I went back in history. This is what some of the late night show hosts had said about him. So number one, Seth Meyers had said, after discovering a new dwarf planet orbiting the sun beyond Pluto, scientists have named it 2012 VP113, or Biden for short. Scientists say they chose the name because the planet, like Biden, is pretty far out there. Number two, on Saturday, President Obama and Joe, and this is from Jimmy Fallon, he said, on Saturday, President Obama and Joe Biden spent more than 4 hours playing golf together. Joe Biden's handicap is 20. Well, Obama's handicap is Joe Biden. And then number three, Jimmy Fallon said, a reporter in Florida was forced into a closet by Joe Biden's staff to keep him from talking to guests at a fundraiser. The guy said it wouldn't have been so bad if Biden wasn't already in there for the same reason. That was Jimmy Fallon.
I was going to say we need a rim shot.
Several things. Another one of my very valued sponsors is Hooters Restaurants, and they're doing something really neat. Excuse me. I'm doing a Hillary Clinton. and that is this holiday season, Colorado and the Colorado Hooters will once again be raising money for Bikes for Tykes. The Bikes for Tykes program provides helmets and bicycles to local children who've been abused, neglected, or at risk for abuse and neglect. It's a great cause that benefits children locally. And so they're going to have a great holiday party. It's going to be up at the Hooters in Loveland. I think that's December 13th. If you'd like more information about this, if you would like to donate to help them with this Bikes for Tykes, or if you'd like more information about their event on the 13th, just email me at kim@kimmunson.com. And thank you to Hooters Restaurants and Little Richie's here in Colorado for doing that, for caring about our kids at Christmas time. Another great event that we have coming up, even though we're in the holidays, is on January 8th. That is the first day of the legislative session. And we want to let these PBIs know that we are watching them. And so January 8th will be our Stand for Colorado 2020 rally. I know it's the middle of the day. I know it's on a Wednesday. I know that it could possibly be cold, so put your mittens on. But we need to show up and let them know that we are going to be watching them, because what happened in the last legislative session, there was a whole bunch of force. And we as Americans like freedom, and so we need to let them know that we are watching them. So email me at kim@kimmunson.com if you'd like more information on that. And then Jen Hewlin, you know, we have done a lot of really fun events at Water's Edge Winery, and we've got one coming up on January 13th with Helen Raleigh, who immigrated from China, and Dr. Paul Prentice, and they've put together a very informative workshop or town hall, if you will, on the punches to knock down Democrat socialism. And so that's going to be January 13th at Water's Edge Winery. So excited about that. And then this other thing that we've done this year, Vino and Veritas, that has just been amazing.
I can't believe we are going into our final group or final meeting. I call it a class, but 12 consecutive classes where we have learned all about the founders and Publius. That's one of our favorite words. Now around the winery.
Yeah, the Federalist Papers.
The Federalist Papers.
That was the name that they used.
Federalist. Yeah, they're just amazing learning opportunity with wonderful people. It's been a great experience.
It has been a great experience. And your team there, you've just got, Megan and Demetrius.
Uh-huh. Chef D, we have Elise.
Yes. I mean, great people. They've done a super job.
I'm very blessed to have found some of the best workers in Colorado. Just wonderful people. They're part of a team. We work closely as a family, and again, just blessed. And if they're listening right now, you get a bonus if you tell me what I just said.
Are they early morning people?
No.
Not at all. Well, maybe they'll listen at 10 to 11 tonight.
Hey, there you go.
So, Steve, we're going to go to break here in just a little bit, but a couple of things. This whole Democrat field, Kamala Harris bowed out, and they've been kind of brutal on her. Initially, I thought that she was kind of the chosen one, and she has bowed out. She's no longer running for for president. And a number of the things that I've read in mainstream media is they've said that she didn't seem authentic, that she didn't seem like she really cared about people. And so that's kind of one of the things that I've seen on that. What's your thoughts on that, Steve?
But she did inhale.
Oh, that's true.
She was quite candid with that. We talked about it yesterday. The only thing that annoys me is that she just can't gracefully back out and say, I guess my message just did not resonate. Instead of, well, it's my gender, it's my
race,
and just going through the entire menu of possible reasons why this had to happen.
Well, and to listener Richard's point is we need to give everyday Americans, Coloradans, the benefit of the doubt. And, you know, they can see through this. And the other thing is I think they can see through her reasons. And this is the Democrat Party is continuing to identify people as groups. They've worked so hard with what this called this intersectionality. And putting people into groups. And then if you can put people into groups, you don't look at them as individuals, and then you can attack them, or you can, if you're part of that group, you can be a victim. And Kamala Harris was playing that, and I saw one of the interviewers with her. I mean, he basically set that up for her so that she could complain about the reason that she was not successful was because of gender and race, instead of the fact that she was inauthentic and that she did not run a good campaign. She did not have a vision for America. I think that's the reasons why she had to suspend her campaign, Steve.
Well, Cody and I were talking before you got here about people, citizens, the citizenry, the electorate. To what degree do they inform themselves versus letting someone else do it for them? Could it be, this is a sign of hope, that enough people looked into her background, certainly her career in California prior to running for the presidency was colorful enough that people was like, wow, is this who this person really is? And they lost interest.
Yeah, and so she was having trouble raising money, and she suspended her campaign. So it's going to be interesting to watch what's going on over on the Democrat side. And I was talking to somebody the other day. It's like, what is the vision? What is it that they really want to accomplish? And it's been to maintain power. But I would submit to you, it's not just the Democrats. We're also seeing that on the other side of the aisle with PBIs that have been embedded in Washington, D.C. And so it's on both sides of the aisle. So you have a guy come in and say, let's make America great again. And it is just crazy to see what's going on and the way that they are going after him. So, Steve, let's go to break. When we come back, I was astonished that the Stanford professor who was testifying at the proceedings yesterday went after Barron Trump. And, you know, kids are off limits. With Obama's children, it's like kids are off limits. We don't talk about them. And the fact that this professor did this in this impeachment proceedings was astonishing. We're going to go to break. This is Kim Munson. It's the Kim Munson Show. I have Cody Hubley and Jen Hewlin in studio. We'll be right back.
At Hooters, you can watch the games with all your buddies. And when your buddies are the world-famous Hooters girls, there's always plenty of ice-cold beer and those craveable wings that'll knock your taste buds into next Tuesday. Hooters girls know plenty about football, but we really know the fans who live for it. So hang out with all your buddies all season long at Hooters, your official hangout for game day.
Catch all the games at Hooters and enjoy a Butter Bud Light draft with 10 boneless wings, just $10. Dine for two with the pitcher and nachos, just $20.
A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. It is essential to understand the process so that all of your questions are answered. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren knows that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage or with rates down, explore options to remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson, and we've got an amazing show planned for you today. Right now, though, I'd like to talk a little bit about what happened at the impeachment proceedings over at the House Judiciary Committee yesterday. Representative from Texas, Sheila Jackson Lee, kind of posed a question to, I think it's Pamela Karlan, Stanford professor, who was supposed to be one of the experts who was there to explain what high crimes and misdemeanors were. And as we've come to find out, it's Pamela Karlan, I think it is, that she donated to the Obama campaign. She donated to Hillary Clinton and I think to Elizabeth Warren. So clearly she is a partisan. She is a professor at Stanford. But the veil came off, I think, with just kind of, I mean, I was pretty shocked that she went after Barron Trump, who is Melania and Donald Trump's teenage son. And kids are off limits. They're just off limits. So, Steve, do you have that as Sheila Jackson Lee was setting this up and then tossing it over to Pamela Karlan?
What comparisons, Professor Karlan, can we make between kings that the framers were afraid of and the president's conduct today?
So kings could do no wrong, because the king's word was law. And contrary to what President Trump has said, Article 2 does not give him the power to do anything he wants. And I'll just give you one example that shows you the difference between him and a king, which is the Constitution says there can be no titles of nobility. So while the president can name his son Baron, he can't make him a baron.
I find that astonishing, Steve. First of all, I think it was set up. I think it was set up between Sheila Jackson Lee and Professor Karlan. I mean, honestly, where would you come up with this question then? And Sheila Jackson Lee is trying to look like she is upholding the Constitution. But I felt that that was a setup. What do you think, Steve?
I think her illustration was absolutely ridiculous. What? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. I mean, and I've always wondered about Barron's name, but I never associated it with that kind of a title. That was just the name his parents chose.
And it's spelled B-A-R-R-O-N, like the financial publication. It's not B-A-R-O-N, like a baron. But when Barron was born, Donald Trump wasn't even a politician. He wasn't, or he never, I don't think he actually is a politician. He was not even, you know, thinking about running for president at that time. And so this looked to me like this was a setup between Sheila Jackson Lee and Professor Karlan. But there was a lot of backlash on that. Before we go to that next soundbite, Jen or Cody, do you want to say anything about this?
I mean, we've got a word for this, right? It's been around for a long time. It's an ad hominem attack, right? I mean, puberty is hard enough without politicians attacking you. But this is just, besides the entertainment value for the audience that she's playing to, this was just an attack on an unrelated party because she had no other intellectual argument.
Wow.
That's my understanding, too. What I saw is we're talking about a bunch of scholars, but there wasn't, they literally said there's nothing that was illegal that was done, but we're still going to try to impeach him. I mean, that's what came out of this. So I agree. I think it's just an opportunity to try to smear and to try to put this idea, oh, he's trying to be like royalty. We must hate Donald Trump because we fear him. And that's, I really believe that's what's coming from the left.
I think so too. Steve?
Well, I don't have it loaded here, but the Al Green, Representative Al Green from Texas soundbite, it's infamous. I'm afraid that if we don't impeach this president, he'll get reelected.
Correct.
There's your marching orders.
There it is. So there was a lot of backlash on this. So what happened then is Pamela Karlan comes out and she apologizes. So I think you have that soundbite too, don't you, Steve?
I think that's correct. And if I can just say one
Please.
Thing, I want to apologize for what I said earlier about the president's son. It was wrong of me to do that. I wish the president would apologize, obviously, for the things that he's done that's wrong, but I do regret having said that.
Just another dig. You know what? And when somebody can't actually really apologize, you know, when somebody says, I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings, wait a minute. You know, you should just be sorry that you, you know, maybe said something that was inappropriate. Here she can't even apologize. She has to take one more dig at Donald Trump. I find that absolutely astonishing.
You know, that's interesting. My husband loves to apologize like that. He likes to come at me with, I'm really sorry that you are upset. marriage.
Exactly. That's not really an apology. No. So, Cody, any other comments?
I mean,
on
an apology with a but and an apology with a qualifier is not an apology at all, is it?
No, no. It's not. And once again, going after Donald Trump. And I saw a headline, Donald Trump recently just, I mean, he clarified this, and I think he probably is thinking people should understand that. In that conversation with the Ukrainian leader, he said that he wanted him to look into this, not because he wanted him to do it for Donald Trump, but he wanted him to check into this for America. And so, you know, I find this absolutely astonishing that Democrats can never think about that somebody might be doing something for the country instead of for their own, you know, fulfillment or whatever. And so I think I thought that was really interesting, because I realized that Donald Trump was asking them to look into this corruption because $5 billion is missing. I mean, I would too if I were president. Jen?
Well, absolutely. I don't know what kind of country we live in where it's illegal to look into somebody's illegal activities. Are you really suggesting that if somebody does something illegal that we shouldn't look into it because they're running for president? Because to me, that smacks of monarchy. Are we saying, you know, these people are untouchable? They're the ruling class. They're above the law. And that's what I think most of us fear these days. People do bad things and don't go to jail, but if you and I were to do it, we'd be sitting and rotting in prison.
Well, and that really is the narrative, that they're trying to say that Donald Trump is not above the law. But through all of this, through, you know, the Russia and the Mueller report and all these things, there's been nothing that has come forward and that has that he's done, you know, something impeachable about. And so now they have this you know, this phone call between Donald Trump and this Ukrainian leader. And Donald Trump, like you say, he says, let's check into this. I mean, the idea that $5 billion is missing, that Hunter Biden is on the board of Burisma, which is this Ukrainian company, and that Bill Clinton, back in the 90s when he was president, we signed an agreement with Ukrainians saying that, yes, we are going to look into corruption. So I really don't understand this. I think it's all theater. Cody, what do you think?
I'm afraid that if Democrats keep pushing this, that there's going to be a lot of questions that we have to answer, as long as people are willing to ask them. You know, in the trials just recently, we learned that Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, you know, an active U.S. military member, born in Ukraine, though, while he's in Ukraine, three times he was offered to be Minister of Defense of the entire country. Is that not incredible that the Ukraine is offering an active military member of the United States to take over their country's entire military? Not once, not twice, but three times. Why aren't we asking questions about this?
Definitely. And so that goes over to the mainstream media. And that is a piece that Patty had pulled here. And she said that perhaps, I got to see if I can find it now, that if we care about journalism, we may want to not subscribe to some of these newspapers out there, because if they have not been doing their journalistic duty to make sure that they are a watchdog on what is going on in government, instead that they are in cahoots together to decide, you know, which stories are published, which stories, you know, which kind of talking points that they're going to cover, instead of looking at their journalistic duty, perhaps maybe we should not be paying to subscribe to these. And the Denver Post, we have we've been subscribers to the Denver Post for many, many years, and it's time to resubscribe, and they are asking $500 a month for that. I don't know that I think that that's money well spent. I think there's some other things that we could probably do with that money. And then another thing that you're seeing then is there has been a conversation that perhaps some of these publications, they're having a difficult time, that we should start to use taxpayers' dollars to shore them up. I don't think that's a very good idea either. I think that those things are supposed to be totally separate. Jen?
Well, absolutely. I mean, the media is supposed to be what the fourth estate, is that what they call it? The people that keep our government in check. And when they're not doing that, it's starting to look a little like Pravda. It's government-sponsored news. Hey, don't look over there. These are not the droids you're looking for, mm-hmm. as they say, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think that's dangerous.
And that's one of the reasons why I've always had concerns about NPR and the Colorado Public Broadcasting System, is because they do receive government money and so they get a marker. All of us over here in the free market, as you guys know, I purchase my time. So value partners like you, Jen, is one of the reasons why I can be on the air. I don't get that government marker that says, you know, you get this, you know, a starting point. So it's not an even playing field. And one has to question whether or not we should have government money paying for media. Cody, your comment on that, and then we'll go to Jason McBride.
You know, I think the problem is that what we see in broadcast media is that you've got five or six companies that control the airwaves across multiple channels, right? And now we're seeing that in print media as well. A company comes in, buys up the local newspaper that is struggling. You know, Google's giving away the news for free, and these people aren't making any money. A company comes in, buys them up, lays off people, and then maybe relocates the local news to a totally a separate state. So we don't have a diversity of opinion anymore. And we've got journalists who are afraid to lose their jobs. And so they're not necessarily speaking the truth because it will cost them, it'll cost them their livelihood, right?
Mm-hmm. And to your point on Google, Google, easy for me to say this morning, Google actually does, and they have a right to, I guess, because they are a private entity. But they actually are choosing which news gets out there. You're also seeing Twitter and Facebook saying that they may not do run political ads. And Jason McBride had hit this nail on the head with that. The reason is because Donald Trump is raising so much money, is that they will not want to run his political ads. They're concerned about the other side. And so they're just saying, we're not going to do, kind of acting very altruistic, we're not going to do any political ads. But ultimately, it's probably because they don't want to run any Donald Trump ads on that. Jason, am I channeling you correctly on that? And if I'm not, correct me, okay?
No, I think you got it exactly right. It got me thinking. You know, Google is named after a number, you know, a Googleplex, right?
I did not know that.
Yeah. It's a one with a million zeros after it. It's called a Googleplex, and that's what they are named after. So much for the old saying that numbers don't lie.
I guess so. So, hey, normally you and I are back and forth on text, as you know, kind of think about what we're going to talk about, or emails. And my email is down right now.
Okay.
And speaking of that, we're going to talk about electric cars. And, you know, also they talk about self-driving cars. You know, I'm not sure I want to be in a self-driving car because my computer goes down. I don't want my computer, my car to go down either. So what's on your mind, Jason?
Well, you know, we've had a pretty wild ride in the markets the last few days, but yesterday we saw a pretty good bounce back after, again, we seem to have some relief on trade with China, that once again, maybe it's on track. This morning, it looks like we'll have at least another strong start, Kim, as Jerome Powell has said that he thinks it's unlikely that interest rates will rise anytime soon. Now, he's had quite a volatile track record, too, so
yes,
next week he might be saying they're going to rise. But at least right now the market seems pretty happy over the last couple of days. We still haven't recovered all of the sell-off we've had, but again, it hasn't been necessarily a vicious, horrible sell-off, at least to this point.
Okay. And Jason, it's December 5th, which I cannot believe it. And we've got really kind of probably this week, next week, maybe the next week, for people are still before they get into the holidays, be thinking about things they need to do before the end of the year. And there are things people can do before the end of the year that puts them in a better economic situation as they're moving into 2020. But people need to reach out to you to do a discovery session so you can figure out where they are. If they're in a good spot, you're going to tell them, yeah. But if they're not, you're going to have some suggestions. So these discovery sessions are very important.
Well, they are. It's kind of the diagnosis to see if there's any issues, whether there's a prescription that comes with that diagnosis or not. Depends on, you know, if there's any maladies or not. And I think that myself and the other fine folks at Presidential are very good at doing that and not trying to create problems where maybe there aren't any, just to spur some action, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely. So if people want to sit down with any of you over there at Presidential, give Natalie a call at 7:30. She's at the switchboard, 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. And then our website, airpresidential.com. You can get all kinds of great information, your podcasts. Truly, it's a great spot to check things out, and they can connect with you there as well. So, Jason McBride, thanks so much. We will talk to you tomorrow.
Have a great show, Kim.
Okay, and we're going to go to break. We have Jen Hewlin, Water's Edge Winery in studio, as well as Cody Hubley on this important piece. I love the title, Freedom to Fuel versus Force to Enrich China. So we're going to go to break. We'll be right back.
Are you looking for news, not propaganda? Ready for a news source you can actually trust? How about a news site that doesn't want to sell you a subscription? Visit CompleteColorado.com to see all the latest news from around Colorado. Complete Colorado's staff scours news sources from around the state and nation to bring you only the top stories that affect you right here in our great state. Updated three times a day, CompleteColorado.com has full-time reporters doing original investigations and reporting like newspapers used to do, as well as opinion and political commentary from a variety of Colorado voices. And CompleteColorado.com is the only place to read columnist Mike Rosen. Always fresh content, always free, always informed. CompleteColorado.com, your complete source for Colorado news.
Don't miss Vino and Veritas, Wine and Truth, a study of the Federalist Papers. Join Kim Munson at Water's Edge Winery in Centennial or Colorado Cork and Keg in Castle Rock. In Fort Collins, attend Vino and Veritas at Ginger and Baker. Kim Munson would like to thank Presidential Wealth Management Loveland, Presidential Wealth Management Denver, and the historic 88 Drive-In Theater for their generous support. Vino and Veritas, Wine and Truth, a study of the Federalist Papers. Sign up today at KimMunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For more than 30 years, entrepreneur and stylist Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best. And guys, Kim can help you with made-to-measure shirts that fit great and you'll love to wear. Guys and gals, if you want to up your game, freshen your look, email Kim at KimMunson.com for your initial style consult. Kim at KimMunson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson, and we are having important conversations and thrilled to have in studio with me Jen Hewlin, Water's Edge Winery. That we just ran the spot on Vino and Veritas. It has been a fun year doing this. It's just been rich in the conversations that people have had, the great food that Demetrius, Chef D, has put together, the wine, the friendships. It has been a great year with Vino and Veritas.
I love the feeling like we're going back in history where people would get together at speakeasies or in old taverns and that's where they talked about the most important things going on in the world, and that's what we do. We bring people together to have those kinds of conversations and fun too.
And we're going to be doing some different salon series presentations this next year. We have Helen Raleigh and Dr. Paul Prentice will be January 13th. We're going to do a school safety in February, so stay tuned on all those things. And in studio with me is Cody Hubley. You are a young man, and we recently met, and it's great to have you in studio.
Thank you.
And you're a real thinker. I think we kind of connected on that. We both are always thinking about these important issues that are facing us and trying to find the truth in them. And I would say that's kind of the connection we made.
I think so, too. You know, it's hard to find people like that, and you kind of recognize them when you meet them. But most of us are just trying to get through our day, and we don't have time to think about other issues, you know, with the respect that they need.
Mm-hmm. And that's why we do the show, is to bring these things forward. And so one of the things also that we're doing is curating authors, and you have done, is this your first op-ed?
Yeah, I guess so.
Awesome. And so you've done an op-ed. It is at my website, KimMunson.com, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. And it's Freedom to Fuel versus Force to Enrich China. And a little bit of your history, when we first talked, you said that you used to always watch, you know, mainstream media, Rachel Maddow, and there was a bit of an awakening. What happened there, Cody?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, so I grew up with the dot-com boom and the dot-com bust, right? Before I could vote, September 11th happened. I watched that happen in class. You know, and we had some policies passed that I didn't necessarily agree with, even though I really had a strong, you know, a strong draw to this small government idea that our founders intended. I saw that regardless of who was in charge, both sides came together to violate our rights with the Patriot Act.
And just to comment on that, you know, I, at the time, this has been a journey for me as well. I felt, I'm like, I don't think that's a good idea. I think that's dangerous, but okay, you know, to protect the country. Mm-hmm. you know, the rule is here, if it goes against the Constitution, we need to make sure that we stand strong on that. So I made a mistake on that. You're absolutely right on point on that, Cody.
And it's amazing how many people are, you know, people I talk to about TSA. I am not a fan of the TSA. Sorry if you work for the TSA out there. But I think they violate our rights every day. And I talk to them, and even some of my most conservative friends are, you know, well, at least we're safe. They're trying to do something. At least they're doing something. I hate that statement. Something isn't good. I mean, who is it that says if you can either have freedom or you can have safety, you can't have both?
Yeah. Was it Ben Franklin?
Ben Franklin.
I think it was.
Yeah. It was something like those who would be willing to trade a little bit of liberty for a little bit of, you know, short-term security deserve neither.
Neither. Yeah, yes, yeah. Exactly.
And to that point, I was flying back from Montana a few years ago. And there was an elderly farmer, you know, some of them wear those kind of those one-piece things. Clearly, elderly guy has his medicine, going through security, and he gets pulled out. And, you know, they're frisking him, the whole thing. And I'm thinking, you know, until we have like an 85-year-old farmer from Montana who's terrorizing people, maybe we don't need to do that. And to that point, we have cowered to this because, you know, we are concerned about it. We need to get some common sense back on that. I'm a little off track on this, Cody, but it was because of the Patriot Act.
No, yes. But that is important. But remember, the Patriot Act came with an expiration date. And despite the impeachment hearings and stuff going on now, what happened recently was that expiration date was continued yet again just recently. But no one was talking about that. You know, so I grew up feeling these really strong political values that have not changed, but I had no political party home, really. I accidentally turned on Rachel Maddow one day, and she presented a great argument. She kind of gives you this winding detail as she gets into her stories where you feel like you're getting the full picture, right? And so it's easy. You feel like you're getting enough there. You don't have to seek out other sources. And then you had comedians like Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert, at the time, mm-hmm. and they were very entertaining. They're, mm-hmm. you know, they've moved on to different roles now as well. So it was really easy to get into this mindset. And I think it spoke to, you know, no matter what side that you're on, this feeling that things are wrong in America and need to change, right? Mm-hmm. You know, since the 70s, workers' wages have been flat. CEO pay has gone up 1,010%. You know, if you don't have investments in the stock market or real estate, you're not really celebrating this kind of recovery that we're having, right? So there is a problem. And I grew up in the South, too, where you see that entire towns have just disappeared. Manufacturing left and people are left hopeless in poverty. If you're not on one of the coasts, politicians don't care about you, right? The flyover states. So it was really easy to appreciate that kind of style of journalism. And she would have people like Rand Paul on to talk about things like the civil rights movement. I thought, great, you know, we can have a discussion about this. I find it's easiest for me to learn from not just hearing one side, but from hearing someone's opposing viewpoint, right? So you can really pick up new ideas. Megyn Kelly said something one time, and I don't know if this was before she left Fox News or after she became on NBC. She said something like, you don't know what you don't know. And I'm sure it's a phrase that a lot of people have heard, but it was my first time hearing it, and it was so profound to hear that, and it's the truth. You know, you don't know when you're in a bubble unless you've had some kind of glimmer of that where you can find a way to research these ideas yourself. It was leading up to this last election, though, where things started to change, where there was a lack of journalistic integrity, you know. And now if you want to hear these journalists who I don't necessarily agree with politically, you know, Glenn Greenwald, who worked with Edward Snowden, right, to bring to light some of the abuses of our government. Aaron Maté. You've got to find those people on Tucker Carlson now. You know, it's amazing that he's allowed to speak the truth to what's going on around us and to really call out the situation regardless of which side, you know, is getting criticized. And that was what I thought I had found previously, and I didn't. You know, so it became a situation, especially with the Russia investigation, where instead of hearing something different, you know, on this program, it was the same thing. And you can hear the sound bites. You can hear the things repeated over and over and over again constantly as they drill it into you. It's just a way to turn off your brain now. And so I had to find ways around it. You know, what happened was I would start watching the show, Rachel Maddow, and a few minutes into it, I think, you know, I can't handle this tonight. You know, and after a couple of weeks of that, like, you know what? I hope Nielsen gets my ratings because I'm deleting this from my DVR. Maybe they'll change. Thing is, I haven't turned it back on. You know, I've really just tried to turn off the at least the broadcast media so I can go out and find information for myself.
And where do you find that information, Cody?
It's challenging, isn't it? That was the other thing that happened. after 2016, the internet that I grew up with, the internet that was free, it changed. I mean, forums like Reddit, you used to be able to have discussions there, and you had these groups like Sheer Blue, a Democratic group, I think, funded by George Soros, in fact, that bought up the moderation rights for these forums so that they could control the discussion for main forums like a political forum. And the actual discussions moved to the seediest parts of the internet. Otherwise, those discussions couldn't be had. You know, all of the places where you had this idea of a free and open internet, this sort of open dialogue, it disappeared after 2016, and it hasn't come back.
So you really have to search that out.
It's impossible. I mean, it really is impossible. I mean, in fact, it's easier now to read books to try to get back to bigger ideas or to our founding fathers than it is to get an accurate representation of current news going on.
And Jen, to Cody's point regarding books, you know, we've done this study of the Federalist Papers, and I have books. I have never really been one for, you know, the iPads or whatever to read books online. I know a lot of people do, and I'm not bashing that at all. But I've always been concerned that all of that can disappear.
Right.
And I'll give you an example. When I was on city council, we all had city-issued iPads. And, you know, all of the packets were there, all of that information. And I would read it. But then I realized, and I looked over, and the mayor had a hard copy, but we only had the iPads. And I thought, you know, I need to make sure that I have a hard copy as well. And so I was making copies. And so sometimes it was like 200 pages. I'm like, wait a minute. You know, I'm getting just a small stipend, and there is staff. You know, I should have them give me a packet as well. And they actually initially pushed back. And I said, really, do you want me to put out a press release to say that you are not going to make sure that I have a written copy? But then, you know, shortly after, I did not run for reelection. And basically, the day of the election, when it was over, I still had 2 more weeks on the city council. All of a sudden, I no longer had access to all of that on my iPad. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the reasons why I think books, written, is so important, which is one of the reasons I have papers all over my house right now. But
right. I had some years ago, I thought was very interesting. It's not quite political, but somebody said when you walk into somebody's home, if they don't have any books in their home, that is an indication that they are not well-read, they're not educated, and probably not terribly interesting. So I love walking into people's homes and finding just books all over the walls and, you know, having a nice formal library, because it tells me that these are people that actually care about, and that the tactile holding a book versus scrolling through a screen. You know, mm-hmm. My husband and I go scuba diving, and the last thing I want to do is be connected electronically. A book is for when there's a power outage and a storm happens, mm-hmm. or you're laying on the beach. I don't want to read a book on an iPad. I want hard copy in my hand.
Well, you will walk into my house right now, and you'll think I'm one of the most interesting people in the world.
I've been to your home, and you are interesting.
Okay, Cody, final thought before we go to break.
Yeah, what you're speaking of is something called digital rights management. It was basically taking the ownership of things like the music that we buy, the CDs or the books. And we've all become, you know, we've all kind of become a Mission Impossible, right? You read something and it disappears. As these services go offline, like recently happened with Microsoft, the media that you paid for is no longer yours. You're just licensed to it for a little while. Amazon on your Kindle can pull back those books anytime they want to. They're not yours to own. So, having physical media is something more than just the feel of paper in your hands. It really means that you own something.
Well, and speaking of paper in your hands, I would recommend that people go to my website, kimmunson.com, and download and have in their hands, in paper, your op-ed, Cody Hubley, Freedom to Fuel versus Forced to Enrich China. Let's go to break, and let's unearth this just a little bit. We're not going to give everything, because we want people to go read that. This is the Kim Munson Show. Thrilled to have in studio Jen Hewlin, Cody Hubley. We'll be right back.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. As a director with the National Association of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Karen Levine believes in homeownership. Because of Karen's love of dogs, Karen volunteers with GRR, Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies, helping golden retrievers find their forever homes. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. In studio, Jen Hewlin, owner of Water's Edge Winery right there in Centennial. You know what? We haven't talked about very quickly. It's the holidays. What's going on?
Oh, my gosh. There is so much going on. We are busier than ever. I have...
Love that.
Events planned all summer, or all summer. Time for shows back in summer. All December. And we've got a lot of fun things going on. Actually, right now we do the special promotion every December. It's called No Peeking Blue Envelope. When you come into the winery and spend $35 or more, you get to pick a blue envelope. We require you to bring that back unopened in January. And inside are prizes, free wine, free food, buy one, get one, discounts, with the grand prize being a half batch bottling party. So 15 bottles of wine, you get to bottle it yourself. And then we've got a lot of great options for you men out there. I know you're listening. Your wives like wine. You have kids, and you are the reason they drink. So come in and grab a bottle. We can do a personalized bottle. We have a wine club that you could get her, gift cards, gift baskets with wine. And then ultimately, you can set her up with a bottling party so she and her girlfriends can come in and make their own personalized label and have a great night out.
Well, and you guys are serving lunch now?
We are. Oh, and we also, I just forgot. Demetrius, Chef D, is putting together a wild game, Colorado wild game, four-course, I believe, meal for New Year's Eve. It's a Tuesday, so we're not going to be open till midnight because I'm old and I'd like to go to bed before midnight these days. But we are doing a multi-course meal that is going to be amazing, all wild game, Colorado-based foods, and with a champagne toast.
And so how can people get more information?
Call the winery, and it's 720-381-6663, or you can go to our website at wewdenver.com. Follow us on Facebook or even Instagram.
Okay, great. And I so appreciate your partnership.
Well, we really appreciate being a part of this. This is one of those benefits of, you know, if you're a small local company like me, we donate to local schools for kids to have uniforms for their games. We support local businesses such as yours. So we can make sure that it's not Pravda. It's not government-run information out there. It's people like you and me that are part of the universe and in our community, and we put the truth out there. And so we appreciate you.
Well, thank you, Jen. And we are Americans. We fight in this battle of ideas. And Cody Hubley, you are engaging in this. And this piece that you did, I think, is powerful. Freedom to fuel versus force to enrich China. So, you know, take us through this.
Look, you know, I've got experience with electric cars, or at least hybrids. I bought into this a long time ago. I bought a used vehicle, a Honda Insight Hybrid, the first hybrid that came to the United States. I got like 70 miles per gallon while I drove it. You know, but in less than 10 years, this car went through three battery packs that Honda kept replacing. We saw the same thing happen with the Prius. And then the Nissan Leaf more recently, I think in 2012, when these cars were in hot environments. You know, and these were slightly different battery technologies. But ultimately, you know, I was thinking of this as just a recycling issue. No, these batteries got to go somewhere. We got to keep making them. It's not good for consumers. It costs a lot of money.
Now, did you have to pay for those battery packs?
So, you know, the first three, they wanted to increase, you know, ownership of these vehicles, right? So they took on those costs. In fact, for most of these cars, for the Prius and for the Insight, these companies were losing a lot of money. They sold the Insight for $19,000, and supposedly it cost Honda, fully hand-built car in Japan, it cost Honda maybe $70,000-$80,000 to make it.
But also there were government subsidies for these things as well. So taxpayers were paying that as well.
The government subsidies started from the very beginning on the Prius and the Insight, the hybrids. And you also got the privilege, especially in California, where it really meant something, of being able to drive in the HOV lanes with just one person in the car. You know, so there's always been incentives along the way to get adoption of this really imperfect technology. But as I was doing this article, you know, I'm looking at this from a recycling standpoint, which I think is important. You know, what are we going to do with the batteries? But what I learned was something so much deeper, and it really speaks to what is the epidemic across our country, right? we have given up our manufacturing. We've given up everything that made America great, and we've given it to China mostly, you know? And that was the case with this too. Inside of these batteries, inside of your cell phone, inside of just about everything, same way petroleum is in everything, right? Everything needs these rare earth minerals or metals. And then some other things are lumped in it too that aren't necessarily in the same category, but they're basically these metals that are mined.
Like cobalt, magnesium,
yes,
lithium.
Those.
Is lithium a, that's probably not a rare earth.
So it's not a rare earth, but it's kind of lumped into the same category. Okay. The rare earth metals are only like 17, but there are other ones too. And even gold and platinum and things like that kind of fall into similar categories of these metals that we need to make things work. But the truth is, we don't have them here in the United States anymore. What started is back in 1980, the companies that we did have to process these metals, and we were using them back then too, and we knew that we would need them again in the future. But starting in 1980, there was a company, I think it was called Molycorp, right? They were our biggest processing and mining company for these rare earth metals. They sold their processing technology to China. And then, also in 1980, we started passing regulations where we treated these minerals that are normally just a byproduct of mining for other things. We started to treat them like nuclear waste or like nuclear fuel. So the regulations increased where companies couldn't mine these anymore. Finally, the final straw was that in 1998, our government sold off our national strategic stockpile reserves that the U.S. Energy Department had held. I don't know why they did it. And that was as recently as 1998. But during all this time, China foresaw what was coming. And as they were running out of these minerals in their own country, the first thing they did was start to buy up Africa. Obviously, a very cheap, impoverished country, China could come in and offer loans and infrastructure in exchange for taking these minerals out of the ground. And hey, we'll give you a chunk of, you know, we'll give you a piece of the returns as well. So Africa was on board with it. I mean, they've added high-speed rail. They've built highways. They've really transformed Africa in just the last 10 years. They've spent more than $2 trillion since 2005, I think. So China foresaw this. Donald Trump recently said that he wanted to buy Greenland, you know, and a lot of people laughed at this, but what a strategic decision, because Greenland may be the second biggest source of these minerals that we need going forward. And these are important for not only, you know, our phones and the things that make life work, they're important for our bombs, our missiles, our defense, our fighter planes, everything that our military depends on. China already owns 12% of Greenland's biggest mine as well. You know, so this was a story about something that we need that regulations have stripped from our country, and it will be very difficult to bring them back. You know, and so these electric cars depend on this as well, and they're going to depend on a lot more than other things because these batteries are huge. They can't compete with gasoline by weight. So the batteries are huge. The electric cars weigh a lot. You've got to have big batteries to even get a little bit of range, so you need a lot of these metals. Well, okay, so let's say we get them from China, where 80% of our supplies and 80% of the world's supplies come from too, and China owns 85% of the processing capacity as well. So even, you know, like the one mine that we have left in California, they pull out 50,000 tons of this, they have to send it to China for processing, where China slaps 25% tariffs on it. We don't do that in a reciprocal manner. We don't put tariffs on these rare earth metals coming from China, and of course we can't, because it would destroy our economy. It would destroy production of anything. All of these companies would go bankrupt if we put tariffs on that, I think. It's a really precarious situation where not only does our defense and our economy depend on these metals, but as electric cars use more, these are in dwindling supply, and they will be more challenging to find. You know, we had these issues with going to war for oil, right? We're replacing oil with these metals that these batteries need. We're going to have to go to war for these metals eventually.
Well, and then when you're talking about regulations, Jen, I find this absolutely astounding right here in Colorado that we've had Governor Hickenlooper and Governor Polis use executive order to mandate that dealers sell a certain percentage of their fleets have to be electric cars. If they don't sell that percentage, then they will be penalized. And one of the ways to offset those penalties is they can buy credits from an electric car manufacturer. There's only one electric car manufacturer that sells those, and that is Tesla. And just happens that Governor Hickenlooper happened to be riding around on Elon Musk, who is the founder of Tesla, on his brother's airplane. And then Governor Hickenlooper puts in a mandate that people have to have these electric cars.
Isn't that something?
Seems a little suspicious to me.
And we're talking about a Tesla, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, $125,000, I believe.
Some
for
of
Tesla.
Them are, they're expensive.
Taxpayer subsidized? Because I don't know what you drive, Kim. I'm sure it's a lovely vehicle, but mine is not $125,000. But I'm still subsidizing people that can afford that. So are we just subsidizing
rich people to buy their cars.
To buy their cars.
Most people that have electric cars have usually two more in their driveway. Right. And Tesla's plan originally was to come out with a really luxurious vehicle, the Tesla Roadster, and then kind of get the price down later. But yeah, subsidies for the rich people from the beginning, subsidies now, and Colorado actually has the highest subsidies of any other state, too.
That's incredible.
It is absolutely incredible. My friends, this is, I feel like we just sat down and the conversation is over. The show's just about over. But I want to say, Cody, thank you. This is an important piece, Freedom to Fuel versus Force to Enrich China. It's amazing what you came up with here. That is at my website, and I know Zach's going to be pushing that out on social media as well. So thank you.
Thank you. And well, I want to say one thing to Cody. This was really important. I wrote this down when you were talking earlier, and you were saying that the Patriot Act has been renewed. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean to say this because I'm an old lady now mm-hmm. and you're young, but one thing that I want your generation to understand is there is never an end to a government program.
Never.
So even though they put these tax subsidies will end or this program will end, I believe income tax was only supposed to be for a short time to fund after the war. Yeah, and a small percentage. And look where we are today. And that was 1940s is when that was implemented.
It was actually during World War One.
Okay.
It was during that progressive era.
Way before.
Yeah. Have you ever seen a toll booth disappear after the roads are paid for?
Never.
You got it. Okay. Well, let's do this again.
Oh, well, I just want to say one other thing.
Okay.
Epstein didn't hang himself.
Okay. Bada boom. So with that, Henry Ford said, thinking is the hardest work there is, which is the probably the reason so few engage in it. So today, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America. Through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry. But tell them if I don't survive, I was born free. I was born free. I was born free.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.